You were saved by the good book.
Everyone, our friends from around the world, thank you for taking the time to tune in to another episode of This Week in Mormons, where we bring you a rundown of Mormon news, peppered with our own commentary and biases. We are happy to be here to share these things with you.
In case you're wondering what this show is about, it is about Mormon news with our own biases.
We strive to be objective. People have said they appreciate us trying to be objective, and we do our best, but we will present you with different points of view. Not telling you which one is right.
Normally, Jeff is the sincere, concerned one, and I'm the sarcastic, angry
one. I'm the bleeding heart liberal, and Al is the angry, soulless capitalist.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. I like
that. That pretty much sums things up. I want to just give you money.
I'm Ronald Reagan, and you, Jeff, are Joe Biden.
I will gladly accept being Joe Biden. I find old Joe to be an amusing fella. I don't profane as much as he does, if at all. But he's a
if ever.
But he's a fine young man, that Joe. He's a fine, fine fella.
I like what's happening.
Al,
how's your week been, man?
Well, it's good. We've got an earlier show for you this week, as those of you listening know. We've Al is venturing off into the great unknown, and so
what many of us know as the South Carolina. I'm off.
Is that where, have you been lying to me? Is that where you're going, South Carolina?
No, I'm really going to Alaska. Oh, okay. So my planning, Jeff, this is why I need you on my trips. My planning consists so far, I leave in the morning and I will land in Juneau, Alaska, and that's where my planning stops. I come back 8 days later. I need to find a place to stay. I might need a sleeping bag or something if I'm camping. I'm not sure exactly how all this is going to go down, but I'm excited to fly there, get a taxi into town, and then figure out what to do from there.
Well, you'll be in Juneau, and I don't think there's a ton to do in Juneau itself. I mean, they probably have Glacier Bay tours or something, because you'll be in the fjords.
That's where we're going to go. We're going to go, pretty much we saw, I read a story about a guy kayaking through glaciers, and I said, that's what I need to do. And so we bought a ticket a week ago, and off I go.
But while you're there, if you're able to go up near Anchorage, I think you must go up to Denali National Park, check out Mount McKinley and all that. You'll have to fly to get there or take a boat.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be near Anchorage, but if I do, sure. I mean, Juneau's pretty south from what I understand.
Juneau is off in its own little land on the panhandle. It's basically a different country.
Its own little land on the pan.
But I'm excited for you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that'll be nice. It's going to be good.
Everything is...
So, yeah, an earlier show. But, Jeff, you did fun things this weekend. I see there's still balloons up from the last birthday you guys had.
Well, the balloons...
was that a week ago?
Danielle and I, our birthdays are 4 weeks apart to the day. So we said...
One month.
Yeah, they said, let's leave the balloons up...
for 1/12th of the year so that we...
Exactly. Let's leave the balloons up for 1/12th of the year so that we can celebrate my birthday as well. And that way my wife and I are as one, you see.
That way you don't have to pop the balloons and spend an extra $1 to buy new balloons.
Hey, it took me a while to tape all those balloons to the ceiling, okay? All right? I don't want to do it again.
I can only imagine the stress that brought.
It was huge. We had massive fights about it. I mean, I would say, honey, I want to put the balloon right here. And she would say, I would feel more comfortable if the balloon were 3 inches to the left. And I say, you crazy? That ruins the balance of the room. And she said, I'm not crazy. You're the one who's crazy. And there was...
Don't make me sound crazy right now, Jeff. We've already been through this. I'm not crazy.
Yeah, it was exciting. As for the rest of my life, though, it was kind of fun. I helped out with a baptismal assignment for the youth at the temple on Saturday.
Were you baptized for the day?
No, I did confirmations, which are like the most low-key, easiest thing you can possibly do in the temple. Honestly, next to just sitting there snoring as an officiator through a session, I think the easiest thing you can do is confirmations. You sit in a chair, you do it, each one lasts for about, 7 seconds? You don't have to get wet in the font. Very straight. That's just where they put me.
I always like baptizing kids because I'm like 9 times their size, and my baptizing move is the equivalent of like lifting them out of the water, then plunging them down and lifting them back. Cause they're just such little people.
Dude, as long as you are, you know.
They are completely immersed.
As long as they're immersed, it doesn't matter. You might have to, you have to refill the font after every smash, but
they remember me. They remember me.
All go sloshing along like that. So that's what's life. And then,
that's good. I had the rest of Education Week, which was delightful. And then I flew home Friday. It was quite nice.
Really?
So my whole thing. You know, it's funny. So Education Week, the morning after, we recorded this on Tuesday night, right?
Yeah.
Didn't we? So Tuesday night, Elder Bednar's talk was fresh in our mind, and I show up the next morning. I mean, I was clearly frustrated with Elder Bednar last week. I expected something that he did not give, and I show up, and all the teachers the next morning were like, "Did you hear that inspiring word? Did you hear the greatness that was Elder Bednar? He wants us to get on the Twitters and on the Instagrams." And they were all very happy. The comment was, "Well, I don't like this. I don't like being on there. I don't have social media, but he said jump. I'll say how high. Off we go." It was a much more obedient crowd up there teaching at Education Week.
Uh-huh.
I felt like I was the renegade. I was the crazy one. But
what?
I hold true to my opinions of last week. There's still nothing in me that feels like this was a well-timed move, well thought out move, or anything of that nature. I feel like they could have done a lot more to be successful with it. But, you know, we even had a comment.
Oh, yes, we did.
Listener mail happened. Who was this? Teacher Jenny, maybe. Said, "Wow, Al, disrespectful much? I usually listen with a bit of skepticism, and today I was sad and embarrassed and offended. She thought his talk was exciting. It made her want to act." We just responded differently to that. She thinks that I had an amazingly critical look at his message with points that are only valuable or applicable to me.
Which we did say in the show, didn't we? Didn't I say, not that we're the best in the world, but that like guys like you and me might look at that with a more critical lens and say, but we forget that for the I don't want to say regular, we're not anything special, but for average members of the church, this might have been a more potent message potentially.
Now I wonder if do we claim any sort of a expectation or responsibility for me not to listen with a critical ear to messages like this? I mean, is my role as a member of the church just to nod my head and say, "You got it, champ.
Yes.
Let's go take that hill and take the arrows in the back"? Because even though I know this is not a wise way of rolling this out, let's go do it. Or are we allowed to give feedback and sort of be the, you know, are we allowed to criticize a message like that?
No.
No?
You're a jerk.
No, I'm asking sincerely, because I'm going to listen critically anyway, but like, is there some sort of an expectation that we do not voice criticisms on stuff like this? Like, let's say they got up and or President Hinckley, when he got up and said that the girl should only wear one earring.
Right.
I remember there's a lot of girls who were like, "What? That's kind of dumb. Why do you say that?" And other girls were like, "He said it. It took the earring out and never questioned again. And anybody that does question doesn't have a testimony of Jesus." The one difference was he was a prophet versus Elder Bednar just being a prophet, not the prophet.
He's only a prophet. It's Leviosa, not Leviosa. I mean, come on. No, he's I think that's not a perfect comparison. Also because President Hinckley was dictating a very clear standard for dress and grooming, whatever that was, right?
And President Hinckley didn't have two earrings in, as he said.
That is true. But Elder Bednar is encouraging us to be more online. I think for everyday folks who might not be that engaged on social media, the words of Elder Bednar potentially were useful in helping them to say, "Oh, well, maybe I can do more than I didn't realize the power that I could harness for social media." And that's okay. If you did learn something from it and that inspired you, then job well done. And that's excellent. You know, the difference here, Al, is that if we were in the similar position, it's not like you and I were both doctors and earwear fashionistas during the Hinckley era who would say, yeah, but see, that's not really counsel that makes a lot of sense because of our expertise in ear crafting and things of that nature. So it's not a perfect...
Right, you're right, you're right. That's not a good comparison because there's no ear crafters. You're thinking of lens crafters, the old eye contact place from the 80s?
No, they're still around.
Go in during lunch and you can get a pair made and one more for free.
Why is lens crafters such poor quality? Danielle, are you getting up to tell us why lens crafters is poor quality? Because she knows. She wears glasses.
She's four eyes.
I think she's going to baste the roast.
Is that some sort of a euphemism?
I knew when I said those words, you would then take it there. No, sir. No, sir. It's just simple cooking. That's all it is.
There we go. Time to baste the roast.
But I don't know. Overall, Elder Bednar's talk was... It's fine for you if it's fine. And there are those of us who might feel that more can be done.
Well, I had a conversation with a girlfriend of mine who is savvy on the social media efforts of the church. She concurred that there was something that they had been pushing for a long time, sort of a general push towards social media overall. And she was excited about it. She shared my same concerns though, of like, when this is sort of the rub is don't apostles, if they write a book, they have to get it peer reviewed by one of the other apostles, right?
Typically, yes. But then there's the fine line by the fact that they're not necessarily official remarks by the church. And we've talked about this many times.
Right, but they still review them to make sure there's nothing too crazy.
Sure.
And maybe that's where the breakdown is. Maybe that's why Quentin's quandaries. I don't think he's blogged on that since that first blog post.
No.
Where he was the first general authority to blog. And then he was the last general authority to blog because nobody bothered after. And social media would be a similar thing. I mean, imagine having to get your tweets reviewed because you were representing the church to millions of people.
And considering we know that images on the church's Instagram account are approved by the top brass. So that this goes through channels. I mean, this is bureaucracy in action, people. And so I wonder. Good point.
Which all that says to me, though, is that they missed. I mean, the point of social media is a very authentic one-on-one conversation. I can reach the CEO of big companies because I can just at reply them, and they're constantly consuming these reply messages and sort of looking for stuff that they want to engage with, and then they engage with it. And you can have real one-on-one conversations briefly, but like that's the beauty of social media. That's the beauty of being able to reach where you generally would not be able to. I mean, wouldn't it be great for Elder Oaks to do a Reddit AMA? Right?
Yeah, imagine that happening. Sponsored by exmormons.org. There we go.
That's what you're, I mean, that's what you're in there to do. You're in there to engage with people and have conversations and chat about stuff. I mean, I honestly think it would be relatively easy to not engage with a bunch of like anti-Mormon rhetoric.
Yeah.
And engage instead on like what the church is doing and sort of the humanitarian aid efforts and legal stance.
But we like to control our messaging like any organization does. And I think the hard thing is things have to go through a number of channels, and just having something as spontaneous, even as one of the apostles potentially actually sitting on Twitter and just using it for kicks and giggles, it probably doesn't happen that way. Instead, they double check it. They make sure this tweet is okay to send. And it drags out so much that it, in some ways, makes it implausible or impractical for them to be in real time engaging, which in some ways is sad. I mean, it's sort of a necessary, I don't want to say evil, but it's a necessary sacrifice in that sense, because we're a global church and they have to keep very tight reins on what is actually put out by the leaders of the church for numerous reasons. And as such, you know, we might not ever actually get Elder Ballard hopping on there and being like, who wants to talk about the Ford Edsel? I will tell you a story. And then we go from there.
But isn't that kind of the point, though? So they stand up and they say, this is a way for us to share the gospel. This is what we should be doing. We should be engaging with our neighbors and talking about this. And then
we can.
And then for them to-
we can do this because we are not official representatives of the church. We are everyday members doing it all colloquially.
Jeff, I'm telling you, man, if Microsoft can get on there and brave the flame wars that all these trolls are doing, like dudes that are inspired. I mean, these would be incredibly meaningful conversations. Elder Ben Elder Bednar specifically got up and said, let's do this, people. Let's get on there and let's knock this out.
I agree. It would be wonderful to see, especially because Elder Bednar even singled himself out as being on Twitter. So you'd want to see him being active on there. And to do a quick update, let's see if he's tweeted anything since last week's show. But I think there are some constraints.
Well, and that's, I mean, that's kind of where I was sitting, is like, if we're still under these constraints.
Well, we are not under those constraints.
Why the emphasis on that?
Because we as a membership are not under those constraints. We can do whatever we want. But when you have official.
Well, is that smart, though? I mean, like, why send us into battle? Like, because we're going to get the same sort of feedback or angry people saying, why are you talking about Jesus on my feed? Sure. As they would.
Well, look at it this way. A general is going to send his troops into battle, but very rarely is the general, him or herself, going to be actually doing the fighting. It's not practical to assume at this point. I wish it would happen.
Why not get three brethren together and say, all right, we're gonna go do a Twitter Q&A. Right?
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Elder Perry, you're going to run this show, and we're just going to sit in the back and sort of make sure that we're talking clear. I mean, they'll go to a town hall and have conversations like this. They'll talk to reporters. I mean, they engage in this stuff anyway. Like, why is this any different?
Well, because if they go to a town hall, that's still a controlled setting. Twitter, they're tweeting stuff out. That leaves it open for anything. And I agree. Part of it that's a storm you have to weather. As a Latter-day Saint, by posting
and social media.
I mean, we've posted things from our own Twitter account, and you'll get people who are not into the church responding to it for no good reason, almost trolling us.
So
that happens.
So
that's life.
I appreciate your analogy. Let me just rebut my closing remarks here.
Yes, please.
Our Jesus has offered to engage in an AMA with every person on this planet. Why then is Elder Bednar any better than him, Jeff? Point and counterpoint, check and mate. Young man, let's move on.
I have no rebuttal. So because of that, I will take it to our next story related to this, in fact. So something terrible happened. Terrible happened at the Marriott Center in the immediate aftermath of Elder Bednar's talking. Over there on the 21st of August, my friends, Education Week things had problems, and the Marriott Center had a ruptured water main, and they flooded things all around. So when Elder Bednar said to flood the earth, he did not...
Somebody flushed a cherry bomb.
He did not know
toilet.
That the pipes were listening and said, we will finally do our job. We, the pipes, have been chained for far too long, and we will rise up against our unholy masters.
You are the general, and we are the troops.
Yeah, so...
No, I noticed that because Education Week classes were canceled in there. That was on Thursday, yes?
This is a dumb question, but do you pay for Education Week?
Yeah.
Really?
$67
really?
For a week.
So are you privy to any kind of a reimbursement when classes are canceled?
No. Well, I didn't ask. The Marriott Center's so far to walk. I tried to stay out of there anyway.
Yeah, it's a ways. I didn't know they charged for everything. That's kind of sad. So you're paying money to see Elder Bednar talk about how he won't use social media.
No. So Elder Bednar is free and open to everybody in the Marriott Center, where anybody can go and attend.
Okay.
The rest, you have to have badges to get into, and they do that because they pay for the flights in and the housing for all the
presenters. Okay, makes sense.
And honestly, $60 for a week of facilities and stuff.
Al, why are we not presenting an Education Week?
We could. We could apply.
We should bring the tour to the BYU.
We could do what would ours be on? Social media, the real rub.
Yeah. Something like that. I don't know. Anyways, I think it's...
Well,
I just.
What would our talk be?
Just social media is awesome.
I took Brad Wilcox's one on the Atonement. He's always great.
I love Brad.
S. Michael Wilcox's one on the Parable of the Crystal Stairs, which lasted for a week. That was delightful.
That sounds like a Jim Henson movie. The Parable of the Crystal Stairs?
He just related a parable and then drew a bunch of analogies to it.
With Crystal Stairs.
And then I had Kim Peterson, some of my old EFY, Ben Knowlton, some of my old EFY session directors were great. Saw them again.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just it was just some good people. Lots of fun.
Good. It's going to be good.
It's really nice. Real quick, while we're before we move on, we had some missionary stuff this week. Some missionaries had passed away.
Yeah.
Which, it still just kind of blows my mind that this stuff happens. So there's two missionaries in Taiwan that died. One was a 19-year-old from Utah, and the other was a 24-year-old out of Taiwan. And they were both found dead in their apartment on Saturday. So I'm guessing carbon monoxide or something like that.
The rumor mill is that, but they're not saying. Well, at least for those ones, but the one in Oklahoma.
And there was one other in Oklahoma,
one in Oklahoma is quite unfortunate. So she died. Let me make sure I find the right one here, just to get her name. I can't find it right here. But she passed away because of a car accident. So Nancy Ann V also died. So she was a sister missionary out there in Oklahoma. What happened apparently, though, was a bunch of missionaries were in a van. The van was carrying two church members and the missionaries, and it tried to make a U-turn. You know those gaps in the median when you're on a highway that's basically just for highway patrolmen to turn around?
Yeah.
They tried to turn around on that. And then the driver of a tractor trailer behind the van hit the brakes, and they were all struck. And then a third vehicle hit them, pushed it into the van. A lot of bad things went down. So basically you had a member who was driving not recklessly but foolishly, trying to cut the median to turn around. And unfortunately, this happened. Others were injured, but they're all okay. But unfortunately, the sister died from her injuries, which is very sad.
Oh, man.
It's tragic. In that case, you can't help but wonder if a lawsuit would come against the member who drove, because this would not have happened had the driver not made a poor choice. Had the driver followed the law, this in all likelihood would not have happened.
What? And I don't know. I don't know that a lawsuit's going to help anything, but
no, yeah. Probably not. But I'm just saying, I wonder if it'll happen.
Sure.
Sad.
You're so curious.
I am so curious. Speaking of,
anyway, yeah, that sucks. So
it does suck.
Just so you know,
hearts go out to their families. Prayers with their families, and if any of you know or personally affected by any of this, then certainly our thoughts are with you, and we hope everyone is okay and comforted through this. Speaking of missionaries, over at Times and Seasons, a surprisingly sassy post. Usually I don't see posts like this at Times and Seasons, about ways we need to change some of the problems with what's going on with missionaries, specifically related to the dropping of the age for the missionaries, namely because apparently the number of missionaries returning home early is now in the double digits, which it's never been before.
What?
Which it's never been before. In percentages, I mean. Double digits of percent. But still, if even 10% of your missionary force is coming home early, that's 10% of the missionary force constantly rotating around on that one. So obviously there have been benefits to this. I don't...
Wait. Where are we getting this data? That's news to me. I didn't know that we had 10%
are you trying,
coming home early.
Do you want me to back up data with sources or something?
I want you to back up your data. I feel like this is just made up.
I'm assuming it's backed up by Dave Bannock on this post.
Yeah, that's real good, Jeff. Way to be a journalist.
I'm a BuzzFeed journalist. I just regurgitate things. It's all I do. It's all I know. It's interesting. His proposals, I don't really agree with.
So the problem is that we have kids that are going out because they're like 18 and 19. They're not prepared or hardened for the struggles of a mission, and they're coming home early because of that. That's the idea.
Well, I mean, that's one theory. I think we've even had that theory before, that by not having that year, especially for the elders, not having a year under their belt away from home and college, presumably, is detrimental to them getting along. And that can lead to anxiety, and because a lot of people are citing anxiety when they come home. And what does anxiety often translate to? Just that, being freaked out. You're away from home. You're in a foreign country. You've never done
it. You grow up.
It's true. But unfortunately, we have these generations now who are so tied. And also another issue is being unplugged, in the sense that they've been so tied to social media, so always in contact with their parents, that all of a sudden it's just like two phone calls home. Yeah, you can use Facebook for missionary work if your mission does that. But that's it. Focus on something else. And that's hard for a lot of people. And I think it's exacerbated by the lowering of the age and what kids are up to nowadays. I mean,
because kids are weaklings, right? That's the idea.
I don't know if that's the idea, but I actually don't get angry at somebody if they present that as an argument. They're just like, you know what? Kids are freaking wimps at this point. Kids need to quit being wimps and go out there and know what they're getting into. Sure. This guy.
Yeah, don't go on a mission if you need to.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to say don't go on a mission. What I want to say is
prepare better for
is if you're not up to like checking out of your life and going and serving the Lord, what are you doing?
Yeah. And I think a lot of that involves better preparation. It's just the best way I think to
I blame the parents. I'm with you.
You should. The best way to put it in one's mind, go back all of you and picture your high school graduating class. High school. Now picture if
I was 14. Got
picture, you didn't go to high school. You were homeschooled, therefore you have no.
I went a year of high school, then I dropped down, and took the GED, Jeff. That's what
blah,
I did.
Blah 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 blah.
14-year-old wizard. Thank you.
Has that helped you?
This is why I'm not married.
I was about to say, has that helped you in getting married?
Hello, ladies. I'm a wizard. Please, I'm the whiz.
Anyway, but picture your high school class. Picture those young men just up and going on missions right away. I think that speaks to a lot of it. There's some growing pains associated with this, and that's okay.
I would have been amazing.
Yeah.
A little bit more acne-ridden, but amazing.
Now, the thing to remember is we need to make sure we destigmatize people coming home for legitimate reasons, okay? Because unfortunately, we do also have an issue in the church with especially elders who come home early, not because of anything done wrong, no commandments broken.
We talked about this last week, though.
And then we
love them still. It's not our place to like force them to be chained to that decision or that whatever for the rest of their life. This article says that we should allow them to call home weekly or Skype home every Sunday.
That's
night.
Stupid.
Dumb.
That's very very dumb. It's calling home weekly.
Make the mission a better experience for each missionary rather than making it all about sharing the gospel. Give them cooler stuff to do.
Well, part of that, they say, also, is to render service, and we're actually seeing that going down now, to spend more time in service activities, which is great.
It says get them out of business suits. They're not salesmen.
Don't agree with that at all. That's our brand,
man. Allow more education and culture into the reading and study program.
That one's fair, but a lot of that just depends on a mission president.
No, why? Like, what are you going to read? Harry Potter?
Yes.
What other culture and education do you need? Once you master the missionary standard works, those six books that you buy,
those aren't it anymore.
Fine, move on to other stuff. But good luck.
I read all of them on my mission.
Yeah, reading them once does not mean mastering, Jeff.
I read things many times over. I read other supporting materials. I really think a lot of this does come down to individual mission presidents. I mean, Mars didn't really
give them a calling in church, like teaching primary or with the youth. I mean, we did that out of necessity, but isn't that kind of the member's job?
Yeah, that's the member's job. And I really don't like the Skyping home once a week. I mean, twice a year, maybe.
They want an 800 number crisis line for missionaries that are depressed or freaking out.
That's fair.
Really?
Well, why not? Give them somebody to talk to. Maybe talk them down.
Call your mission president.
Yeah, well, I guess that is your 800 number, but he's so busy. He's making presentations. There were times when I'd call the office because I'd be like, hey, I had one time when it wasn't my issue, but there was a situation arose and I needed to call and talk to the mission president. And of course, I called the assistants because none of us knew our mission president's cell phone number. We didn't know that line. I call the assistants. Of course, they start acting like the assistants and they're like, well, what do you need? No, we don't give out that number. What's going on? I was like, dude, now is not the time. Give me the flipping cell phone number. Don't have time to deal with this. But I do find that mission presidents are quite busy. I mean, he was gone. He was somewhere else in the mission, or he was traveling in France or something. They're always at conferences with 70s. They're always at conferences.
Just conferencing. Yeah, that's fine.
But I don't think a lot of the solutions presented in this article are plausible.
Yeah,
some of them are fine. I don't think my mission president restricted what we could read, as long as we were wise enough to interpret what would be good for our spiritual growth and prepare us and make us better missionaries.
We didn't elder the red Harry Potter and got everything that wasn't in the standard or the missionary library banned.
Okay.
He was reading Harry Potter in the language, and that was his move instead of the Book of Mormon. He's very good at the language, so it kind of worked.
See, there's the fair point. It helps you, because when you only learn church vocabulary, You have to find some sort of an outlet to learn more just colloquial vocabulary, because that helps you. So we should push to read Harry Potter.
We bring that back. That's
our Education Week presentation. Why Harry Potter should be required reading for all missionaries.
Okay. Let's see. So there's a change in the seminary world.
Yawn. Why? What's going on?
Yawn? Jeff. No, so seminary, apparently there's new graduation requirements. They're raising the bar for seminary students.
The bar has been raised.
I'm against this only because I was not a great seminary student.
Did you graduate?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I'd finished the year and my teacher would say, you missed half the days. You need to make up these many pages of independent study. And I'd say, all right. And then I'd go in and I would just start filling them out. Now they want you to do things like read the book that you're studying.
What's that about?
No, thank you. Not interested.
Why read that when you could read Harry Potter in seminary? I have the solution to everything.
So a lot more going on. Some of the reservations to doing this is you will ostracize the lazy kids that don't care.
Yeah, that could happen.
Which, you know, there's that idea that maybe if I can't graduate, and I know I can't graduate, I quit going altogether, which isn't helpful. But having, like, much more qualified graduates, probably not a bad idea.
And there's also, excuse me, there's also testing to go along with this. They've stressed very much that they want them to pass these tests. Sadly, they have to pass by 75%. Last time I checked, pass-fail was 60%, people. 60.
Hello.
60. Who are the CES instructors that think they're the man that they can make such a C average, a straight up C, not a plus or a minus, a C to pass?
You knew what I was when you picked me up.
Maybe really this is less for the students and more to legitimize CES instructors even existing. Like, wait a minute, you want me to grade papers now? This isn't what I signed up for. I started doing this because I failed at my business, and that's what I do. Then I became a CES instructor. You can't expect me to actually engage in teacher activities. In my spare time? No.
Yo, boy.
But it'll be interesting to see. I agree with you, Al, that I just worry about losing the ones who only come two or three times a week because they feel there's like too much, not worth my time. But then there's something else to say for actually strengthening the youth. I mean, I didn't even realize yet we had not had to read anything cover to cover to that point because seminary was so passive for me. I showed up, I was there, I just kind of did it. I took part in discussions. I wasn't just sleeping under my hoodie or anything. I was there, but I wasn't like actively engaged in it outside of that or anything. I got up at 6 a.m. to be with those people. They should have just been happy I was there.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So, and no word on if this is, I think this is church-wide. We were wondering if this involved only like Utah students who, you know, have release time and go do it that way. But I think it's just church-wide, new requirements.
You can never know.
Boom shakalaka.
As they say in the South.
Oh, I love the South. I want to go back to Nashville.
Hey, so let's see. Nashville. BYU TV was criticized.
For the first time ever.
No, apparently they threw some a programming presentation in front of the TCA, the Television Critics Association.
Yes, sir.
And allowed them to ask questions. I guess they were, what, trying to legitimize some of their programming?
Well, as we
Granite
know...
Granite Flats is going to the major audiences?
Yeah, as we know, BYU TV has been spending a lot of time and effort rebranding itself to get away from just being an LDS-specific outlet to a family... friendly one that produces lots of original content. This has been a long-term strategy now over a number of years, and this is part of that strategy.
The first thing that has to go, though, is those mocked-up sacrament meetings on Sundays. We see right through those.
The ones that people in China watch?
The fake ones?
I don't know what you're talking about right now.
No, they do. Have you ever watched BYU TV Sunday morning, and they'll be like,
no.
Enjoy sacrament meeting with... brother so-and-so, and it's like, hey, everybody, we're going to have a talk by this guy, and it's all, like, people in the audience are there, and they laugh when they're supposed to laugh. It's all staged.
So is it designed for members in far-flung regions that don't have formalized units? So, like, that's their church? That's what I'm saying.
No, it's just, like, for people that want to watch Sacrament. I don't know if there's a purpose to it. It's so cheesy.
It's for all the people who just want to watch Sacrament meeting all day.
I don't know. That's the best part of church for me. I'd love to watch that again sometimes.
We know what you like. Ooh. Talks. Mm-hmm. From the pulpit. Sad jokes to start the meeting. We know you like Sacrament meeting.
I've recognized some buddies that have gone on there to speak, and I'm like, what? Hello. All right.
But anyway, we digress. What happened here is they presented to the TCA, which they've never done before. This is kind of part of them kind of taking their lumps, I think, to be considered more legitimate. But of course, a lot of critics raised their hands and were like, okay, you've said, this one guy here, Scott, said, you've used family-friendly in your opening at least three times, right? Well, my family includes gay couples, some of whom are raising children. And to be honest, they're not feeling very friendly toward the Mormon church and don't feel a lot of friendship coming back. In a polarized nation, do you want them as viewers, and why would you want them to watch BYU TV? So they responded, of course, you know, this is something, I think he had a little bit of a faux pas. He said, something you'd want your children to watch, whether those are children of same-sex couples or children of married couples. But then he did make a mess when he said he called parents, basically he called heterosexual parents, quote, normal parents.
Granite Flats are very, or the family configuration Granite Flats are very non-traditional. In season three, Arthur loses both of his normal parents.
Yeah, gotta be careful with that one, buddy. But I think he held his own pretty well. That was one of his only faux pas of the whole thing. You're with the Television Critics Association. You can't be just like, who cares? Normal parents are what we define them as. You gotta play the game a little bit. But the upside to all of this, regardless, is that they are trying to show people BYU TV is not just Mormon religious programming. However, I would submit to our listeners.
Yes, go on.
If they really want to get away from people having that idea in their head, it should not be called BYU TV. The entire thing should be rebranded as something else. That's just some innocuous acronym like every other network that speaks to family entertainment. But no matter what, if I see something called BYU TV, I think it's just BYU's channel that just shows things going on at BYU.
We got him. You got him.
So it involves Mormons. We got him.
Let's see. BYU, the BYU bookstore was stocked by a Hallmark employee who put same-sex greeting cards in there.
Yes. Yes.
His and hers and hers. And somebody took a picture and got it on Twitter. Well done, Internet. You got them. You nailed them.
Hallmark stocks the shelves, and sometimes things get biased. I don't believe this was an accident. I believe this was a calculated move by the liberal establishment to attack BYU.
You felt like this is Cecil Samuelson's going out joke? This is his version of taking all the W's off the keyboards? He's like, yeah. Here...
See, this is all Cecil. He's like, ha ha ha. I got
there you go, boys. Homosexual greeting cards for everyone.
So, yeah, I love someone just came from Hallmark, clearly oblivious to BYU's customer base, and put up two grooms, two brides. You can get cards for Mr. and Mr. Mista Mista.
Finally.
I would have loved to buy those. Those could sell on eBay. Like, get yours today, the same-sex greeting card that I bought from BYU.
That might be a bad investment. I don't know how many people are looking to put that on their mantle.
Buy the card and the receipt and prove to your friends that you were there.
All right. Whatever.
Another quick call. Well, last week we spoke a bit on more calls for financial transparency, if you remember. In the church.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I was there. I talked about it with you.
Yeah, and we think, and you signed the petition, actually, Al.
Oh, yeah, I did.
So our friend of the show, Peggy Fletcher Stack. Hi, Peggy. Hi. We know you're listening. Peggy basically summarized some of the history of financial transparency, because the church actually had a pretty strong and lengthy history of reporting its finances to the members and disclosing all sorts of stuff. I'm not sure when exactly this just sort of stopped. You're talking as recently as even, let's see. Yeah, basically the last financial report was 1959. So before that time, the church published stuff on how they had like botched investments. Tithing funds were used to try to buy municipal government bonds and they all went away. But just general, the funding of the church was open. It was there.
Huh.
So it makes you wonder what changed. Why?
Well, I bet it was when they got into that City Creek thing.
That started in like 2010.
It.
That's what it was?
That is it, yeah.
So, not much more to say about that, but good to know the history and know that there was a time in the church when the brethren would just get up and be like, yep, so this costs this much money, this costs this much money, this is the money we have, here's the money, the money, the money, the money. Follow the money. I'm smelling green.
Isn't that a movie? Follow the money, they say.
Sure, that's a movie called Follow the Money.
I don't know. Okay, well, anyway. Yeah, so right, we want right. that. Yeah, yeah. And Peggy, yeah, yeah. Fletcher, yeah. Peggy Fletcher Stack noticed the same thing. Way to go, Big Stack. Way
well, Peggy listens to the show, and she thought she should write a piece about it based on what we said.
I've actually heard that to be true. Is she beating the roast or basting the roast?
Danielle, are you beating the roast or basting the roast? I think the words she used were mashed potatoes.
Oh, she got a McGriddle. I love those.
She got a McGriddle. That's what's happening right now.
Let's see. President Monson turned 87. Did you know this, Jeff? He turned 87 years old on Thursday.
I do know it because I follow the This Week in Mormons Instagram account. We encourage all of you to follow as well.
1 year older and wiser, too. He was spending the day relaxing, and that's it.
It looks like they put like a lay on him, and then women in the Motab came into his office and sang to him while another security type guy just stood and watched. It's a very awkward photo.
You're gathering this data from the picture.
Yeah, I'm just
and
all
and could all you imagine a more awkward scenario for a birthday greeting? Everybody stand there. We're all going to come in here and sing to you. Maybe happy birthday from a chorus binder.
Yeah. Oh, but here's another good thing. You can see he's greeted by a number of general authorities. Third picture in, clearly Elder Oaks wearing a tan suit. Don't get to see that very often.
What?
Fashion forward. Looks like they got a face cake for him. Very nice.
A face cake?
Excited by the face cake. Apparently he met a woman in crutches. I don't know what that means, but I'm okay with it.
Maybe he put her in crutches. He said, let this be a lesson.
He Tonya Harding'd this thing. He was just like, boom.
Elton Perry is obviously his hitman. let's see. Other great things.
I've got one here. The ground the ground has been broken.
Oh, is this about the earthquake in California?
No, but our hearts and prayers are with all my friends in California.
Well, you can't just give both of our hearts and prayers. Your heart and your prayer might be there. Mine are mine to give, Jeff. I don't offer okay, those willy-nilly.
Let's do this commitment pattern style. Why would it be important to you to give your heart and your prayer to the people of California?
It would not.
Do you feel it would be important to give your heart and prayer to the people of
California? I am an angry old man.
What impedes you from giving your heart and your prayer to the people of California?
Okay, you win. They can have it. Good work.
And now you're baptized. It's as easy as that.
Repeat 1,000 times.
I've done it. So in other news, the Meridian Idaho Temple, which I'm personally excited about just because it takes its design cues from Cardston, which we love.
The four most beautiful words in the English language, you wore me down.
It's like that episode of The Office when Dwight gets Andy to sell him his car.
No, this is like the episode of Parks and Rec where Tom Haverford says, the four most beautiful words in the English language, Ann Perkins, you wore me down.
There we go. Anyway, they broke ground on the temple. It's going to be cool. Obviously, we're a couple years away, but Meridian, Idaho, a suburb of Boise, will soon have its own temple. Way to be densely populated Western Idaho when it comes to the Mormons.
Finally, they did it. They did it. Also, the Deseret News found a Southern Utah University coach who's not a Mormon, but attends church and serves in that in a calling. Nailed it.
I don't understand how this works.
No, you can give assignments. So, like, we actually had people like that would part member families and stuff. The guy would come to church. He just didn't want to be baptized. And so you can give him assignments, things like...
This sounds made up to me.
Like blessing the sacrament or presiding over a congregation.
Uh-huh.
Or things like hymn book passer out or greeter or... I believe even a secretary in an organization or like an assistant to the president are both can be assignments. Secretary might not be an assignment, but
no, secretary probably not. But I'm aware of the world of assignments. I deal in assignments.
You dabble
every now and then. So that's very nice of him. He's been investigating the church for like 20 years, but he hangs out, does his thing. Everyone loves him.
Turns out we've found people who are important and nice, even though they're not members of the church.
It's truly baffling, Alan. This is what I've learned this week. People bring value to the table even without being Mormon.
You knew what I was when you picked me up.
I said this in ward council one Sunday, and the looks they gave me.
Did they guffaw?
They were blown away by my logic. And they said, no. A couple other quick items here. Oregon LDS were on a trek for special needs, and they decided to invite... they were on a Mormon trek. I'm not paying attention to what I'm reading. And they invited special needs kids, and they had a great time. I particularly like the summary where it says, when they invited all youths, regardless of ability, to come on a pioneer trek, six took the opportunity. What happened inspired everyone. Isn't that just like one of those Facebook posts?
There's a part of me that feels like it's cheating if you're pulling a handcart and you're already in a handcart.
Oh, be nice.
I feel like that's a surprise advantage where you're like, this is the first time we're hauling this thing. And this guy's like, I'm a pro. Like we had a guy in our ward growing up. He could do like bunny hops in his wheelchair and climb on top of people's cars in his wheelchair. He's very, very good. I just feel like that's an advantage that most of us wouldn't have.
Yeah. The real question here is, why is this news? What have all the other wards up to this time been excluding those with special needs from church functions? Like, nope, sorry, you can't come along. You're dead weight. Who's been doing that?
Sorry, Jimmy. And then he sits sadly. Everybody passes by and they say, we wish you could have come.
Who's been doing that? Oh my goodness.
No, that's never happened in any of my wards. We always make very very gracious accommodations to make sure that everybody can go. Who's too tall to sit in most seats, I am still allowed to go. I just have to walk and walk and walk like the pioneer
children.
Like
the parents' children.
I've never ridden in a handcart. Even though I faked a sprained ankle one time just to see if they'd let me, they did not. They helped me fashion a splint out of a young pine tree.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. In final news, folks, two new stakes organized, one in Florida called the Boynton Beach, Florida Stake, another in Utah called the Draper Utah Suncrest Stake.
Finally, we got it.
There are now 573 stakes in Utah. Oh, the suffering. Oh, the suffering. How it must be to be so alone as a saint.
Yeah. Anyway, Jeff, it's delightful to be back with you, as always. And yes. You can always reach us. We'd love to have an email. If you're particularly angry over my stance on Elder Bednar, send
anything.
Me a note and I will send you a personal response. And I promise you it'll include some sort of snark and humor, as well as a sincere, heartfelt conclusion. So you can email us at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. We'd love
yes.
to have you.
Yes.
Or visit our website, thisweekinmormons.com, and leave a comment there.
Go to there. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. Hit that like button. We share a lot of good content on there. And there you can interact with the TWIM community. Everyone's got thoughts. Everyone's got feelings. It goes back. It goes forth. You never know what's going to happen.
It's a wave. It's an ocean.
And then we're also on Twitter, Instagram. Find us on there. And Google+, vaguely. And also YouTube, of course. We know a number of you listen on there. So thanks for your patronage on that site.
#, we were there before Bednar. That's going to be our mantra from here on out. Before the Bednar was, we
That's
was.
What we'll use the next hashtag LDS comp. #awesome. And folks, of course, listen to Sunday School Bonanza and Third Hour of Power, the ones that talk about gospel doctrine and priesthood and Relief Society lessons.
A lot of people listening to those. They're really liking that.
We get great numbers there. So tune in. If you've never given it a lesson, listen. Give it the lesson with the listen. I'm having trouble with words today.
Math is hard, Kevin.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, we're going to go then. Al, I thank you very much for your time, of course.
Absolutely. All right, till next week, buddy.
Till next week, folks. Thank you for tuning in.